Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Hello and welcome to The Storm, a Lost Rewatch podcast. We all know what the cork is, finale special. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and I have a very special opportunity for my hosts. You get to name a meal at Mr. Cluck's Chicken since their sideways boss has disappeared, and I'm going to add a fried chicken sandwich with bacon jelly called a Boar Group Lock Special to kick it off.
My name is Jonah Robinson, and I think if there's going to be like a special meal, I haven't figured out what it is yet, but it's on the hidden menu and it's called the Libby. You got to find it in order to order it.
Nice. And I'm Neil Miller, and I'm naming it after what happened to the big boss man. It's a chicken sandwich. It's a little messy, and it's called the new manwich in charge.
Nice.
It may or may not have chili on it. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work.
Chili on chicken, I gotta think about it.
Right? Yeah.
Guys, are we not gonna be able to make Lost jokes anymore?
Okay. I mean, I'm sure we'll find lots of places to squeeze Lost jokes in, and now everybody will finally know what we're talking about. We've added to the mass pile of people, hopefully, who have seen and enjoyed Lost. Last week, we wrapped up the rewatch of the entire series, and this week, we were gonna bring you a mailbag special, which we are still planning on bringing you, so please email us at host@stormpodcast.com with your various Lost thoughts, questions, reflections, maybe about the podcast, probably about the show. You know, give it a shot, and if we pick your email, we'll read aloud, we'll discuss it, it'll be super fun. But this week, we decided instead to dump some content on you that Neil and Joanna previously made amazing, but you had to pay us to see. No longer. Joanna, what do we have for people today?
It was technically free, but it was living on our Patreon website, and we decided that we wanted to like put it in the main feed because we talked about it, which is the finale special that we threw together, and Neil did an incredible job editing
emphasis
together.
On threw.
I basically, it was a thing where I had this idea at the very last minute to talk to a bunch of people about the finale around the anniversary of the Lost finale in 2020. So it was early in the pandemic. I don't think it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, no, early it was what, May
yeah,
something?
Yeah,
2020?
Of course. Yeah, so early on. but we assembled a bunch of great guests, some of whom you might have heard of other episodes that we did. The lovely Alan Sepinwall, who's been such a good guest on the show, is there. Dan Feinberg, Mo Ryan, Miles McNutt, who did some great – if you haven't read what Miles McNutt was writing at the time about Lost – at his Cultural Leanings blog. Incredible, incredible stuff. Jacob Stolworthy, who's a co-host of the Lost Boys podcast. They're currently on a little bit of a hiatus. The last episode they did is The Incident, part 1 and 2 in May. But that is a great show where Jacob has seen all of Lost and his companion has not seen any of Lost. And they are going it's Jacob and Jack. So perfect names for two boys hosting a Lost podcast. Josh Wiggler and Mike Bloom, who co-host the Lost Down the Hatch podcast. They are also on The Incident. But their last episode was like last week. So they're rolling through. So they're on season 5 finale, The Incident. And I imagine they will be headed into the final season soon. Emily Vandervoof, Jeff Jensen, and Lonnie Diane Rich, and our pal, of course, Joe Garfine, and the man in charge himself, Jorge Garcia, reflecting on the finale. So it's a great episode. I just re-listened to it. And I think I was... What it really showed me is that in the last year, I've really moved past my Game of Thrones finale trauma. I'm not done with it, but like it's really present in that episode. Is there anything you guys want to say about this podcast that we did?
I mean, this is one of my favorite things that we have done so far. I mean, it took dozens of hours of interview content, probably yeah. more than that. And we really, it was wild because we were up against a deadline and we decided to do it very late in the game. And I think we finally locked a finished episode at like 5 o'clock in the morning, local time central, on the day of the anniversary. And, I don't know. I don't regret it at all. Like I lost a lot of sleep over it and, it was, quite the endeavor to edit it together, but super proud of the way it came out. And you know, I think it's for folks that were in the calm with us through our lost journey, this is a really great piece of new content. And for anybody who had listened to it previously, you know, if you're looking to keep those feelings going from last week's big, you know, finale podcast and live watch, this is a perfect companion. And it also gives us another week to collect your awesome emails. That's going to make for a pretty fun episode next week.
We're drawing it out because it's so good. And
I can't just let Lost end like we did to Thrones.
Exactly. This is one of my favorite episodes of the podcast because it's one where you guys are like, we want to do this. We have like this amount of time. And I'm like, good luck and blessings upon all of you. So this is one of the episodes of the podcast I get to listen to where it's just like I get the storm presented to me. So let me present to you and to me once again our finale special about Lost.
I'm pretty sure this is the truth. There was a lot of people who would spy on the show, and they would do a lot of like they sometimes kind of trying to find things that they could kind of create red herrings or things to kind of throw off the observers about what was going on. And so, like the scene in the church got a nicknamed "Son's Wedding Day," and so the goal was like if a call sheet, you know, got slipped out somehow, that they would see, oh, they're filming Son's Wedding Day on the finale or something. Or they also put the Santa Rosa Mental Institution logo like on all the cast vans. They all said Santa Rosa. So they would think it might be something like that. Maybe something like that happened. And not only that, if I remember correctly, that it was called Son's Wedding Day, that they had someone in a wedding dress who kind of looked like Yunjin to kind of sometimes go back and forth in shuttles and stuff.
It's amazing.
It was really, and like I sit there and I go, this happened. I remember seeing a woman in a wedding dress who I did not know who she was, and I didn't understand exactly what she was doing there, but she'd be put in a white van sometimes, and then she would come back and stuff. And I was like, what is... I didn't... And I thought that's what was going on. And then I sit here 10 years later, and I go, that happened. And I go, did that happen?
Hello. Okay, I should probably introduce myself. I am one of the co-hosts of The Storm, a Lost Rewatch podcast. My name is Joanna Robinson. And that voice you just heard that doesn't belong to me was, of course, the man in charge himself, Jorge Garcia, a.k.a. Hugo Hurley Reyes. You'll hear his voice again along with all of our other friends we've gathered here. We've got, in no particular order, Josh Wigler and Mike Bloom, co-host of the Down the Hatch Lost podcast. We've got TV critics Mo Ryan, Dan Feinberg, Miles McNutt, Alan Sepinwall, and Emily Vandervoof. We've got Cancer Gets Lost co-founder Joe Garfine. We've got Lost Boys podcast host Jacob Stallworthy, How Story Works podcast host Alani Diane Rich, and no Lost discussion would be complete without Entertainment Weekly alum Jeff Doc Jensen. You'll hear each person's name before the first answer they give, and then after that, we'll just have to hope you remember the sound of their voice. We'll kick things off with Rolling Stone chief TV critic Alan Sepinwall. Alan Sepinwall, what is the first thing you think of when you think of the Lost series finale?
I was mixed when it aired. I was mixed because on the one hand, I think like moment to moment, it has some of my favorite things that Lost ever did. The vending machine scene, the fight between Jack and Smokey, where they do that great act out where it's Jack leaping down from the rock. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they basically just cut away in midair. That's good. The closing shot of Jack and Vincent lying around. There's just a lot of great action sequences and a number of really potent emotional moments throughout. And yet at the same time, there was a part of me saying, you know, is that all there is? Particularly with regards to the sideways, but also some other things like Desmond's whole role was basically like to put the cork back in the stopper. It felt like a number of things that the guys had set up over the years did not pay off as satisfyingly as I might have hoped. But the individual beats and a lot of the character stuff was fantastic.
Hello, Mr. Locke.
Dr. Shepard.
Hey, since you're about to open up my back, you can probably start calling me John.
Okay, John. Thought I'd stop by and say hi before we started the anesthesia. You nervous?
Are you sure this is going to work?
Yes. I'm very confident that it will.
Really?
Well, there's always the chance that I could kill you. But I'm trying to make you feel better.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, I'll see you on the other side.
Hey, doctor. Back at LAX, when we met at baggage claim, you mentioned that they had lost your father. Did he ever turn up?
As a matter of fact, I got a phone call this morning. They found the coffin.
Good.
Actually, it might be here already.
Well, I hope that brings you some peace.
If I can fix you, Mr. Locke, that's all the peace I'll need.
Emily Vandenberg, can you tell me what you first think of when you think of the Lost finale?
I think of the arguments around the Lost finale. Like, I think that's unfair to the Lost finale, but I think about all the people who were upset by it or felt let down by it. But I also think about the ways that those conversations have shifted over time, especially in the wake of the Game of Thrones finale. I don't want to relitigate the Game of Thrones finale. I don't think that's what we're here for. But there is something in the way that that show had a firm plan and then fell apart in other ways than the Lost finale did that I think has made people go back and be like, maybe we were too hard on the Lost finale. I really like the Lost finale. Like, I think it's not their best episode, but I think it's a strong episode of television. I think it's a strong series finale. I like series finales that take big swings, and that one does.
So, Maureen Ryan, when I ask you what you think of when you think of the Lost finale, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
How cataclysmically wrong I was, as I am so often cataclysmically wrong. You know, it just is a thing that I do because it's fun. I remember very distinctly sitting on the couch, watching the Lost finale, turning to my husband after it was over and saying, well, that's a finale that no one will be able to take issue with. And that is, to me, still to this day, one of the most hilarious things I've ever said. Because there had been, I mean, obviously there's always been finales, but there had been, like, around that time, some fairly heated reactions to finales and whatnot. And so I thought, well, this one will not inspire that level of spirited or even rancorous debate. And, I still am daily being proven wrong on that point. So it's exciting. Well done, me. I know how to predict things. You're welcome.
You mind?
Looks like you got your first gray hair. What are you smiling about?
I think I just realized I want to live.
It was good timing.
You know, there was two sides to the finale, wrapping up the plot points and then emotionally, psychologically wrapping it up. And my thought was the emotional, psychological, relationship, character-based part of the show, the way they wrapped that up was very beautiful and elegiac. I stand by that completely. I still think that that's true. And to me, it really comes down to, I think, in a finale, like, what do you value? In a show in general, for sure, but maybe there are shows out there that ended with like a huge amount of spectacle and very dissatisfying character arc endings. I don't know if we could name any between us, but like maybe if we thought from maybe up.
Can't think of one.
Seconds. Yeah, no, I can't think of any. So to me, yes, obviously I want a plot and storytelling wrap up that makes sense and is interesting and is satisfying and thematically holds up and all that good stuff. But like, to me, the emotional, psychological character side of it was so rich and so sweet and had such a beautiful intent and execution, even with, you know, that last scene in the church and Jack and Christian together, that I thought, well, this will kind of, you know, this cathartic moment, these cathartic moments will be something that people will grab onto and say, okay, well, this part of it, maybe I didn't like as much or whatever, but that this other stuff will make up for it. And I was spectacularly wrong.
Joe Garfine, what do you think of when you think of the Lost series finale?
Memory lane. It is filled with amazing memories, actually. You know, when I think about the Lost series finale, I think about how extraordinarily satisfying it was. Particularly for someone like me, I truly loved and studied every single episode. But in particular, I always think about the emotional awakenings between the characters in The Flash sideways. I thought those were tremendously effective. And they get me every time.
Claire, this is about the time when you're supposed to start pushing.
No, I'm not ready. I'm really scared.
I'm scared too, all right? Really scared. But I'm gonna need you to push because I can't do it without you. Okay? Okay. One, two, three, push.
Push!
That's good. Okay, we're gonna try again. You're doing good. One, two, three, push!
Miles McNutt, when you think about the Lost finale, what is the first thing you think about?
I think about Kate, Charlie, and Claire remembering. That's it. That's the scene. I revisited the first three seasons of the show for the AV Club as sort of an attempt to bridge our reviews together from Noel Murray had covered seasons 4 through 6, and then I basically came in and filled in the gaps ultimately about 5 years later. And what was interesting to me was that, like, ending at the end of season 3 was sort of this very weird point where it's just like, I stopped that rewatch. Like, it was completely done. It didn't kind of play out. But as I was finishing that arc, I was just like, I feel like I can't do this without, like, going to YouTube and just, like, popping in that scene and realizing what that looked like. To me, it represented to me what the finale was really trying to do, which is to get us to go back to the feelings that we had throughout the series and to revisit that through the characters' eyes. That meta quality of the finale, which I have some quibbles with, to me is so just emotionally impactful. And so I remember when they kind of combined those three remembrances in the midst of that scene, that was when I think the emotional weight of what we were seeing really hit me. And so I think that's where my mind first goes to, and what, when I rewatched the finale, thinking about it this week, made me cry the most.
Jacob Solworthy, what strikes you most about the Lost series finale?
The episode, the main part that stands out for me are those flash sideways towards the end, mainly, I think maybe from Sawyer and Juliet kind of reconnecting onwards and just being filled with so much nostalgia for what had come and so grateful that the finale was like just embracing all of those special moments, which is why I love Lost. You know, I love the mystery, but I love the characters more. And just being like, oh God, it's going to be emotional from here on out. That's kind of what just being like, okay, I'm going to have to just let myself go here.
Oh. Did you see that?
See what?
You don't remember?
Mr. Locke, please, just relax. What we need to do...
What we need to do is go.
No. Hey, John.
No. Will you come with me?
We're not going anywhere. You just had extensive spinal surgery, and I need to go see my son.
You don't have a son.
What?
You don't have a son, Jack.
Doctor?
Jean, would you give Mr. Locke something to help him rest? I need to go.
Jack! I hope that somebody does for you what you just did for me.
I am aware that maybe the finale isn't perfect. But for me, I honestly don't have any quibbles about it. Because, like I said before, the mystery element was one part of it for me, but it was just those characters. And I was so grateful, kind of, even 10 minutes in, thinking, okay, they're going down the route that I really wanted them to go down. Sure, there are, the Flash sideways were a bit, you know, not Lost at its best. Presenting like an answer to a mystery that they kind of just introduced in the beginning of season 6. I can understand why some people would find that quite galling and annoying. But for me, I remember the next day after it finished, just waking up and not even feeling kind of sad or come down. Just feeling so grateful that I didn't have the feelings that a lot of people were having about it being disappointed with it. But I honestly, I'm just down the path always just like championing it. And when someone else is like, oh yeah, I love it as well, I'm like, okay, we are not leaving each other's side for the rest of the evening. And they're like, okay, I wish I didn't say anything. So for me, it's just really overwhelmingly positive, the finale.
Diane Rich, how did the Lost series finale sit with you the first time you saw it?
Even with the flaws in Lost that I see and how disappointed I was the first time I watched it. The second time I watched it, not so much. I was much, much more like I was into it, you know, much, much more. I could respect it, you know. They did something so incredibly bold. And I think that no matter what flaws there might be within the show, I love and respect that so much that I don't think I care, even though I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I'm disappointed by that. Like, I don't care. They did something. I mean, that took some like big brass ovaries to get in there and do that the way that they did. And they did it. And whether they landed or not, it was so bold in the attempt that I have this deep seated affection in my heart for everything that they tried to do, because I just think it was so incredibly bold.
Jeff Jensen, what's the first thing you think of when you think of the Lost finale?
I think of being tremendously moved by
a story and spectacle and feeling of watching a community of people coming into awareness of who they are and what they are and what they mean to each other, recognizing that they have lived a life and have together and have a responsibility to each other for mutual survival, and honoring that commitment and honoring that love for each other and kind of rededicating that bond that they have as they move forward into the future together, into the unknown, into mystery, into uncertainty of what lies beyond, and hoping that they can live together and flourish together as a community of people. I feel like that essential idea expressed in a very, very weird story that brings together the six seasons of Lost and that very odd final season of Lost. That for me is just what I remember. Those final images of them together in the church and asking us as viewers or as fans to interpret that and ask what it means to you. That's what it meant to me, and that's what it means to me today. And that's kind of what I remember. That's what I think about even today. That's what I think about even today here, yeah. 10 years after that finale was there too. But I think the thing that like captures my imagination most, and this is the song that kind of haunted me throughout the final episodes of Lost, and I think about all the time when I think about the end, is that there was a moment in between, while they were waiting for a setup, that the cast got together and you've seen videos of this a lot, but Naveen Andrews and Terry O'Quinn would play the guitar together and sing a lot in between takes.
Yeah.
And they did a big sing-along of Purple Rain. And I just kind of felt like that song might be the ultimate theory of Lost in some ways, at least in terms of kind of what it feels like it means. And I just remember them singing that it's time to reach out for something new. That means you too. This song about, you know, forgiveness and grace and all of that. Them singing that, that's probably the moment I think about the most when I think about the end and what it means is those people singing that song. If that could have been in the finale, it would have been even better.
When you think of the Lost finale, what's the first thing that you think of?
I think about, the last day of work was super long. And I remember we were really exhausted at the end of it. Like that kind of little bit of like sense memory of how tired you felt at the end of that day. Like I remember that they were already kind of starting to celebrate a little bit, like the camera team had already set up like a barbecue behind the stages. One of them was grilling stuffed mushrooms on it. I remember the sense that it felt like Jack Bender was. I finished a little earlier than like I was there near to the end, but I was at the very end and I kind of stuck around to kind of watch the end happen as far as the filming of it. And I felt like Jack was like not quite ready to call it done. Like he was like, you know, asking for like, oh, let's do one more kind of thing. And then a slight delay before he finally said like cut it and print it and stuff. And kind of felt like that. And then, you know, there wasn't a lot of fanfare at that moment, but we all kind of went home, got some sleep, because later that same night, because this is already kind of in the wee small hours of the morning, later that same night was going to be the actual, you know, rap party for the whole thing.
Dan Vinberg, when I mention the Lost finale to you, what is the first thing that you think of?
The first thing I think of is all of the people on Twitter who continue to get wrong what the Lost finale resolves itself as being. I think that is perhaps the dominant legacy of the Lost finale, is that they managed to over-explain things to the degree that people got confused by what they were explaining, and people who were never going to pay attention in the first place definitely were able to have all of their incorrect theories confirmed.
What's anything come to mind about the episode itself? It's okay if it doesn't.
No, I mean, I definitely remember the sort of smorgasbord aspect of it, that they definitely made sure they checked as many boxes as possible. And I remember at the time certainly appreciating that to some degree. This was always a show for me, and a little bit like Game of Thrones in that respect, where my need for particular resolution or answers was always somewhat less than a lot of the Twitter population, etc. And so I was able to watch it without any particular checklist I needed to work through in terms of things I needed them to give me. And so I was able to just be like, okay, I appreciate all of the nods to things that I like and the reminders that this is a show that at times I liked very much. I think what I said over and over again at the time was that I really liked the 2-hour Lost series finale, and then it went on for about another half hour. So I think that before the finale went off into the oft-misinterpreted spiritual mumbo-jumbo of it all, I enjoyed the let's bring the gang back together in all of these different ways. Let's see how many different times we can make you cry, etc. I think I enjoyed all of that a lot. And then the spiritual mumbo jumbo was never going to be for me anyway. And then people seem to have somewhat at least disliked it. So, you know, I feel a little bad for it, because maybe if they hadn't even bothered with all of that, everyone would have fonder memories.
If they hadn't even done the church and just left it with like everyone waking up and that's it.
Well, just finding some alternative resting point that didn't attempt to give that sort of cosmic, high-minded, quote-unquote, answer, if they just found a kind of narrative resting place as opposed to a spiritual resting place. Mm. Of course, then the creators and producers would have had to have spent years answering why they didn't give the spiritual resting place. So they did what they wanted to do, and I think that's been my principle the entire time, is it was their show. So whatever they want.
Josh Wigler, Mike Bloom, what were your initial reactions to the series finale? Did you love it wall to wall? How did you feel about it? Where were you sitting when you watched it?
Yeah, I was sitting in my living room with my wife, who wasn't a huge Lost fan, but had seen it all, knew it was really important to me, and I was my college friends were really like, that was my dark UFO, that was my whatever, you know, that was my message board, was my college living room watching Lost, watching it all the way through season 3. So like, I really delineate the first half of the show as part of that classic era, and the second half was like when we all went our separate ways, and so it was always a little bit harder to connect with everybody. We would try and stay connected by text and phone and whatever, but I did manage to watch it with not just Emily, but also one of my closest friends from college was in town, and we were able to watch it in the same room, and we were just a wreck. We were just wrecked by it. I think emotionally, so to the point that like maybe there were like some spikes in the viewing of like Saeed and Shannon, what is going on here? Like, you know, uh-huh. I think like a little bit of like confusion about that and being like, what is this? But just like more overtaken with the sense of like a journey coming to an end, and something that meant so much to us personally coming to a close, that I think that like that feeling overrode any sort of like eyebrow arching for me at the time. And just like the sheer exhilaration of watching the events unfold and like, you know, starting to piece together like, oh God, Jack's going to die. Like Jack's not going to make it here. You know, he's been like, oh God, this is all starting to make sense. That we were just bawling by the end of it. So the experience of watching the finale was hard to match in terms of just the sheer emotion and loving it. And then it was like not terribly long after that some of those questions started to creep in, like some of the logic of, okay, so wait, so this was sort of some sort of afterlife universe this whole time, like what happens to Kimi in the afterlife universe?
He makes eggs
after he gets shot in the face. But what happens after that, Mike?
He makes eggs in hell.
He makes eggs in hell, devil's eggs. You know, like that. I had a lot of questions about that. And I started to find myself feeling a little resentful. And that became a predominant feeling for at least a couple years, I would think. And it's been subsequent rewatches where every subsequent rewatch of the show, I have found myself enjoying that final season more and more and more, to the point that my most recent full rewatch that I did, which was right before Mike and I started Down the Hatch, probably like 6 months before, I loved the final season without equivocation, without like without having to give up a single inch of really having to defend it. And I'm really grateful that that's where I am now, but I do think it's the kind of thing that couldn't have happened for me without time and distance. So it was a bit of a ride, but that first watch, first watch was pure. That first watch was a very pure, just elation feeling.
Well, I remember.
How about you, Mike?
Yeah. I was trying to think about, you know, what was I feeling? Not specifically like right after the finale, because if you remember, the finale of Lost was followed up with like this Jimmy Kimmel after show special. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in the nascent days of Talking Dead was Jimmy Kimmel showing off how the trombone player did the slide into the big act breaks. And so I'm trying to remember like what my mental status was at the time. I definitely recall a bit of happiness, not only because like this was a seminal moment is show in my life and it was finally coming to an end, but there's a little bit of like we all had this moment when we first saw Inception, right? And we were like, wow, I get it. And that makes me feel a little bit better that, like, I got it and maybe some other people didn't get it. And that's not, like, a slight to other people when there are things that are difficult to understand. But there is definitely, like, an endorphin, in my opinion, that gets unlocked when you're like, oh, now I understand. Okay, so this was it the entire time. Admittedly, you know, I think the finale, my initial reaction was a bit more mixed. Like, obviously, there was an emotional reaction, as Josh was saying. But especially that first time viewing, and I think that's sort of the critical unlock behind the reception behind the Lost finale at the time, was with so many people watching it for the mystery and the mythos of it all. A lot of people, my friend group included, came into the finale with a laundry list of questions that they hoped would be answered by the end. You know, they promised us that they'd answer everything, so they have to answer this within this, you know, 2+ hour episode. And obviously, they did not. We don't know what that second outrigger canoe is for. We have no idea who the hell Libby is. Like, those things are still becoming unanswered, even though Josh and I have been trying to fill in as much headcanon as possible over the course of our rewatch. So obviously, I think that left it a bit of a mixed bag. As Josh was saying, it's a little bit of like a sobering up reaction after you sort of experience it for the first time, and you're like, oh yeah, there were a bunch of things that arguably, even though the outcome had this really big emotional heft to it, that I would have liked to see. But really what changed my fundamental viewing of the show was another viewing of the show, and really this angle, and we espouse this all the time, as I'm sure you do as well, if you watch Lost through the lens of the characters and not the plot, it becomes an immensely more enjoyable experience. Even in season one, when you'd say arguably the show is at its strongest, when it's focused around the characters, you really find yourself buying into more of the personal stuff, and maybe some of those more B and C plots that might seem superfluous on the surface are things that actually mean a lot more when you're looking at it through the lens of the people. And so this finale almost gave you an excuse to go back and view it, not just through this lens of like, okay, I guess now we have to rewatch season 6 knowing that this is some sort of sideways universe where the dead purgatorial characters are finally waking up to their existences on the island or before they ended up dying, but also of, okay, let's just watch this. Let's see the forest for the trees. as it is before the monster tears it up out of the ground. Let's watch this show through the lens of the people that we're watching every week rather than just thinking about them as accessories to a mystery. And that has made me fall even more head over heels in love with the show. So what I love about the finale is that not only in the moment did it feel like an emotional conclusion for me, but also an excuse to really re-examine the show through a light that made it fundamentally more enjoyable for me.
I love that. And I mean, you know, that kind of answers my question about, like, you know, in the intervening 10 years, has your opinion changed? Because the act of doing this podcast, it seemed, has really done a lot to move your needle on certain things. But I'm wondering about the, like, your perception as people who are active in the Lost community, the larger conversation. I'll just tell you, like, what I'm seeing is that over time, a lot of people are softening, just remembering the things they liked about the finale. You know, there were always people who just loved the finale, but then of course there was that vocal majority, I don't know, who were like, oh, you know, Lost, what a great show, until it's like famously shitty finale. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that take is softening, either because the people who are salty about it are just not talking about it anymore, or people are sort of reexamining it in the wake of a number of other big shows that have either had disappointing finales or lackluster finales.
Names, drag them
at them.
Someone brought up Dexter to me the other day. Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, Dexter's like,
see, because I feel like Dexter's one that, like, that's not going to be softer.
No, absolutely. No, not as soft as Dexter Morgan's lumberjack beard. But, like, it's weird because, like, from a reception perspective, almost like Lost could walk. So, like, How I Met Your Mother could run and Dexter could levitate and Game of Thrones could ultimately fly, you know? And I think that's a great point, is that, you know, it's like this idea of the grass is always greener, that in light of maybe some finales that take, I'd say, much more of a hard pivot in terms of tone and narrative than something like Lost did, it does make you look a bit softer and more fondly upon those things. And I also do feel like, in terms of timing, 10 years is a good time to look back as well, because what Josh and I have really discovered is, Josh says all the time on our podcast, like, Lost finds you where you are in terms of the time of your life in a rewatch. He and I have both gained so many insights from this particular period in both of our lives and in the world in rewatching a show like Lost. And I can imagine...
Yeah, like, you're a dad now.
I'm a dad now,
You were a wee tot when Lost was ending, and now you're a father. So, like, all of the themes of fatherhood and stuff is stuff that you always pick up on in a really big way.
Yeah, exactly. I have a new cowboy who has daddy issues. Hopefully not. But essentially, you know, I think that that's also reflective of the fan base at large. Like, so much has happened, both assumingly in people's lives and the world over the course of a decade, that when you look at Lost from the lens of 10 years later, even just that finale, you probably view things so fundamentally differently, not just with what's happened in the course of pop culture, but also just who you are as a person. You know, it's almost like taking a look back in a scrapbook, looking at that Dharma Initiative orientation photo and sort of looking back on the people in it and being like, oh, I don't know why I was so mad at this outcome before. I think it depends on how fundamentally you change as a person, too.
I think it also depends on to the idea of Lost meets you where you are. Is who were you watching Lost live, and now are you reassessing the show, or are you watching Lost for the first time? And I know that that's a big portion of the audience that you guys deal with, Joanna, is, you know, that's what the whole comm section is devoted to. Is this your first watch? We've got you covered, spoiler free. And so they're following along the ride with you on a week to week. But there are so many people who I know who are finding Lost for the first time right now and just, like, power through it and do a huge binge and just, like, sitting down with it like a huge book. And very wisely, I think time has bared out for Damon and Carlton that it really is the character work that people are invested in. I don't think that you're getting too many people who, if they're watching it on Hulu or wherever, they get to lockdown and they're pausing down at the Blast Door map and spending a week at least analyzing it, you know? So, like, that level of the show maybe doesn't exist for people who are finding it now. And my experience with the people who find Lost now on the first time, who don't have any of that zeitgeist pressure on them, just invest in the characters. Yeah. And for the most part, the character stuff really works. You know, there are some key exceptions where I'm still really salty about some resolutions for some of them. But I think by Saeed and large that
Sun
stuff.
Jin,
yeah,
sure.
I'm looking at Saeed mostly, who I love so dearly. They do him so dirty.
Would you say his reputation blew up at the end there, Josh?
Oh, Mike, stop it!
Oh no,
we're having such a good time.
Well, it's like you have like the bad news of zombie Saeed.
Right.
He gets a good Flash Sideways episode, right? Because Nadia's there.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
Nadia is who we should have a resolution with. But, like, you get Zombie Saeed, and then you get the Shannon thing, and you're just like, why?
I know.
Isn't his journey.
You know, I don't know where you guys have landed on the Saeed and Shannon stuff. I know both of our podcasts are at the point where Shannon is now R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Shannon.
Right.
Mike and I were starting to stan it a little bit because, like, they're both just good people. They're both so hot. Let's just have them be good and hot together
in the
afterlife.
They do some cute stuff in season one in particular. And I think season two in her last moments, he is very supportive of her.
But, like, we are having to workshop it a little bit to feel good about it.
I'm fine with them. I'm not fine with him being like, she was the love of my life.
You have one of those. I think,
it's
like, he
Nadia.
Gets to the afterlife, and it's like, oh, so this is who I'm going to be soulmates with? Yeah, I mean, that's going to work. This will be great. It's not Nadia, but like,
it gets more egregious due to the fact that he does leave the island and like does find her and does get married to her, and then she dies.
And marries her.
He married her.
Yeah. I married her. Like, LOL, never mind. It was the blonde I knew for like 10 days or whatever.
Yeah. So some of that stuff.
Hell of a picnic, though. Hell of a picnic.
I just got pounded, man. Thanks for taking your sweet time.
Takes as long as it takes.
It was a pain in the ass getting her here from Australia.
Yeah, but dude, it was worth it.
Should I go get him?
Nah, let's give him a minute.
Let me tell you something. My impression of the Lost series finale has not changed one iota. I loved every aspect besides one choice, which is to have Shannon reunite with Saeed in the Flash Sideways. Many fans have made valid points to me over the years about why she was in that church in the end, but I still maintain that Saeed's constant was always Nadia.
Why isn't Nadia there? Why is Saeed paired with Shannon? That was perplexing. I remember being there behind the scenes thinking like, oh, the shippers are going to have issues. It felt like the show was taking these rather cosmic stands on things like, no, like, guys, listen, it's Jack and Kate. It's never going to be Sawyer and Kate. In all possible universes and quantum realities, like it's the soulmate. Here are your final soulmate pairings. You know, Jack, Kate, Sawyer, Juliet, Saeed, Shannon. Like, you know, like, yeah.
I felt the same way about Saeed and Shannon, which I'm just like, is that really it? Is that really the sort of like true love thing we're doing here? Is that what we're doing?
I've always felt a little weird about the idea that, like, Saeed and Shannon are endgame. Like, it's fine. It works within the context of what the episode is doing. But, like, I really hate to think that I would die and realize I was part of, like, a TV ensemble. And that, like, people I barely knew were, like, suddenly, like, the most important people in my life. And, like, I was coupled off with somebody. I get why they did it. But it always felt to me like Nadia would have been a better fit there. I also really wonder about, obviously I know why they didn't have Mr. Echo there, but I think it would have been rad if he was.
Now, I'm curious to know how impressions about the Lost finale have changed in the last decade, either your perception or opinions from the community at large.
I would hope, this is just a personally biased statement, I would hope that people are more forgiving of it, seeing as it ran for more than 100 episodes, and much of that was really done at a very high level and a very entertaining and commercially successful, but also creatively interesting and satisfying way. I personally, when the finale first aired, I had lost people in my life, but I was a very different person. In the intervening 10 years, both of my parents died. I had other friends who died or became, you know, ill. I went through a lot, some of it really, frankly, very difficult. And so I would hope that if people go back and rewatch it, maybe the intervening time has, as it did for me, made you view it through a different lens. And I definitely viewed, like, that scene between Jack and Christian, like, I sobbed much harder the second time through, being much older and having gone through a lot more. That scene was much more powerful to me, and it was about how do you come to terms with loss and the love that continues on beyond a loss. Like, I don't even know that I knew how to process that at the time. I did think it was a beautiful, wonderful scene that made me cry at the time. But in the intervening time, to have something that was so high profile, so expensive, so commercially driven, and yet so thoughtful about the human condition and so devoted to illuminating weakness and pain and redemption and love, that to me is just so rare and so interesting to have. And it's still one of the greats of all time because of its devotion to not just entertaining us, but saying something about people and how even in the worst of conditions, when you think you can't be found or redeemed or comforted, you can be. And to me, that's such a resonant message and such a beautifully told lesson that I'm far more forgiving. I just really hope, given everything that we've all been through, I would wish that more people would be more forgiving toward it, but that's up to the individual, you know? Nothing I can do about that.
Even when you have a finale that gives every answer you think you want, it's still going to tick people off, and it's still going to feel as if there are more stories to tell in a good universe. So I think the finale of Lost was doomed regardless, and I think that the finale of Game of Thrones was very comparable. I think that the Lost finale had high-minded questions that it had to answer that were inevitably going to lead to disappointment that really weren't there in a disappointing finale like How I Met Your Mother, where the finale was just supposed to resolve how they met their mother. I mean, whatever it was, it was a kind of self-explanatory finale. The Game of Thrones finale, it was going to upset people regardless, but it just had to put someone in a chair as the ruler of a fictional country. I mean, that was what it had to do. It didn't need to answer questions about the nature of existence and humanity and life after death and religion and God only knows what. So the Lost finale was doomed on so many levels. And I went back when Alan Sepinwall and I did rewatches of finales for the podcast we used to do, and I found it really pleasant to go back and watch it from a distance, to go back and watch it without the week-to-week craving of answers, to go back and watch it without the week-to-week analysis, to just go back and be like, oh, okay, these were things I liked, these were actors I liked who were all doing great things. The ending is still strange to me, but it's strange in a way that was keeping with a lot of what the show was. So from a distance with no expectations anymore, I found I really enjoyed the time I rewatched the finale because it was just it was a reunion in the same way that people overpraised that cute little Zoom Parks and Recreation thing a couple weeks ago, where everyone simply determined, I am so happy to see these people again. I do not care if it actually fulfills the basic mandates of what a sitcom is supposed to be, like being funny. I just like seeing these people again. And I was able to rewatch the Lost finale when I did it 5 years ago or 6 years ago and feel exactly that way. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah. Jack, you can't. Even if you turn it back on, it'll kill you. It has to be me.
Desmond, you've done enough. You want to do something, go home and be with your wife and son.
What about you, Jack?
I'll see you in another life, brother.
I think the world increasingly feels like a dark and hopeless place where maybe you're not going to find the people that you need to get through it. I think we're all hoping to meet, you know, the love of our life at a candy machine and touch that person's hand and suddenly wake up and realize that, you know, the answers to everything we've wanted all along. The show Lost was always looking back at September 11th, at these other big tragedies. It was so influenced by them. That finale feels like a manual for how to live in the 21st century, for how to continue to have hope, for how to continue to believe in things beyond yourself, even if we don't call that God or anything like that. Like, it is a weirdly ecumenical view of like something better after. Like, I've always sort of had this, like, obviously the idea of like reincarnation is that we live many lives on this plane of existence and our goal is to better ourselves, to like move towards some ultimate goal. And there's something about the Lost finale that suggests that the afterlife is just like moving through new permutations of reality until like you reach some sort of catharsis. And like, I don't think it totally executes that idea perfectly, but I think that there's so much more in there than has been unfairly written off that people can't help but take that away from it. And I also think, yes, there have been really disappointing finales since the Lost finale. The Dexter finale springs to mind.
Right.
The How I Met Your Mother finale, the yeah. Game of Thrones finale, and even the finale Play It Safe, your shows like Breaking Bad or The Office, some of those shows where the finale is just like, yeah, we're going to give you everything you want, audience. Like, those don't stick with me as much as the Lost finale does, even though the Lost finale has more obvious problems in it. And I think that's part of it, because you can look at that episode of television and find so much of interest in it, even if you don't like it.
You know where we are?
This is where I was going to have my father's funeral. He died in Australia.
I'm sorry.
Why did you bring me here?
Because this is where you're going to have your father's funeral. You can go in around back.
Wait, where are you going?
Inside. I'll be waiting for you there. Once you're ready.
Ready for what?
To leave.
Like, let's say specifically Damon Lindelof, who did not make this show alone, of course, but like watching his subsequent work on The Leftovers and Watchmen and how those shows concluded, has that altered or at all informed your interpretation of the Lost finale?
It hasn't, honestly. It's probably altered my interpretation of Damon Lindelof, and probably for the better, because he was in that particular moment of his career where at that very moment, he was sort of the guy everyone wanted to blame for everything, having been the guy everyone wanted to rhapsodize for everything like 2 years earlier. And so between that and Prometheus, he was taking a lot of blame for things that were at most peripherally or tangentially his fault. And I think if you now take several steps back, all of the people who are like, who are still to this day like, oh, I don't trust Damon Lindelof. Come on. Have you seen Leftovers? Have you seen Watchmen? I think Damon Lindelof has bought himself a fair amount of trust. And if the Lost finale wasn't exactly what you wanted it to be, not you necessarily, Joanna, but, you know, one.
Yeah.
Then perhaps it wasn't a perfect finale, but there aren't that many shows that have perfect finales anyway. So how high are we raising the bar here?
Based on my working relationship with him, I have a greater respect for what they were trying to do. From a point of view of what Damon has written and put out in the culture since then, and kind of like what he cares about and how he sees the world and the things that he struggles with on a human level and how he writes out of that, with these weird, high, strange genre stories that he does. I think Lost even makes even more powerful and potent sense to me. And I appreciate it even more. Yeah.
What conversations, if any, have you had with, you know, some of your castmates or with Damon or Carlton or Jack over the years about the finale? Have you talked about the finale? Have you talked about sort of its legacy?
No, we haven't talked about the finale in ages. Now when we see people, we're just happy to see each other. I ran into Damon at an airport. I went to Atlanta and he was on his way. I don't know where, I'm not sure where he was going, but he just, you know, he spotted me and they came over and said hi. And I met his kid, who's already a teenager, and he was currently on a Lost binge. He was watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of fun. Kind of like, it's funny because like I remember basically when he was born, like that he was a baby. Like, I didn't really meet him when he was a baby or anything, but at least I don't think I did. But seeing like his teenage son kind of see me and like that look of recognition on his face and stuff. And that was kind of fun, kind of cool. And it's just interesting that like, there's a few people who seem to be doing that where like when their kids get a certain age, they're like, okay, now I'm going to show you Lost. And that's kind of funny, kind of entertaining.
Is there a moment of the episode in particular that stands out to you as like the most successful aspect of the finale?
I mean, there are so many, but honestly, the cut to commercial, that is Jack and the man in black in the form of Locke running to each other and then like leaping toward each other and it cuts to commercial, is one of my favorite cut to commercials in TV history. I think it's just so brilliant.
Matthew Fox becoming Jason Bourne for like a hot second in Lost and doing his flying Falcon punch towards fake John Locke.
I think that's probably my honest answer too, is the flying dragon punch is what I've always referred to it internally as.
Where they do that great act out where it's Jack leaping down from the rock, is that right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, and it's they basically just cut away in midair.
There's a lot you can pick on. But that somehow they decided that it would all end with some epic battle between good and evil and this, like, you know, these two rival archetypal forces brawling on the rocks while the island is collapsing into the sea, like, and then that great gunshot by Kate. But yes, remember the punching? The flying punch!
Do you have a favorite of the, you know, the wake up moments that happen in the episode?
Sawyer and Juliet at the vending machine.
We should get coffee sometime.
I'd love to, but the machine ate my dollar. I only got one left.
We could go, Dutch.
Juliet and Sawyer, yes, obviously, right? That was beautiful and wonderful and all those things, but it was sort of expected. They were very much like choreographing that those two characters would have to interact, getting into the hospital. There's a lot of work being done there.
Anything that tends to be associated with Juliet in the wake-up moments, whether it's the...
So you're talking about the Apollo bar and the vending machine?
Right, we'll go Dutch.
Oh, yeah, and Sawyer and Juliet touching hands at the candy machine? Oh, my God, it's so romantic. Like, I think the world increasingly feels like a dark and hopeless place where maybe you're not going to find the people that you need to get through it. I think we're all hoping to meet, you know, the love of our life at a candy machine and touch that person's hand and suddenly wake up and realize that, you know, the answers to everything we've wanted all along.
Kiss me, James.
You got it, Bonnie.
If anyone is like revisiting the finale right now in honor of the anniversary, though they might be a little disoriented if they haven't watched all the episodes leading up to it. But if anyone's revisiting it, rewatching it, what would you want them to sort of think about or take away from? I'll just say this. Like, I've talked to a bunch of people about this finale, and I feel like the main takeaway I'm getting is that a lot of people are like, if you focus on the character and the character connection, which honestly is what Lost was always about, even though a bunch of people thought it was about like these mysteries, et cetera, but really it was about character connection. If you focus on that, you're going to have such a good time watching the show and watching the finale. Like, do you have any thoughts along that line or different thoughts about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of the big things I learned from J.J. Abrams and just also doing Lost and Damon and everyone, just kind of like the way what makes these type of science fiction adventure type of shows so good is not the weirdness elements as much as it's the people. And more now when I watch a show and then I go, I don't know why I can't get into it. And it always now it comes down to, I just don't care about the people.
Yeah.
And, that, you know, it's like JJ's TED talk from a long time ago and his whole story when he talks about Jaws. And do you know what I'm talking about? Or,
Yeah,
the whole thing about how, like, all the movies that came after Jaws, and they all were copying Jaws, and none of them kind of achieved the same thing. And his whole bit was that because they copied the wrong thing.
Right.
You know, it's that Jaws isn't a movie about a shark. It's a movie about a man who's trying to, you know, do his job, and the whole town is against him. And in that sense, this kind of saying that, you know, none of this magic stuff's important if we don't care about the people that it's affecting. There's a whole thing at the very beginning of this whole, that whole show. We found ourselves living on an island with each other, in many ways, other than just the TV show's premise. We relocated to Hawaii. We were the kind of the only people we knew there. And it was just kind of like, you know, this is our group. And we sought each other out when we weren't working, and you know, we hung out, and it became that first summer was a very strong moment of us bonding to each other. And then so that connection and that chemistry, I just think, just kept working. It's, you know, it was always visible throughout the whole run of the series.
Where are we, Dad?
This is a place that you all made together so that you could find one another. The most important part of your life was the time that you spent with these people. That's why all of you are here. Nobody does it alone, Jack. You needed all of them, and they needed you.
For what?
To remember. And to let go.
Kate, she said we were leaving.
Not leaving, no. Moving on.
Where are we going?
Let's go find out.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.